Hello, welcome to the Big Scuba Show.
Hi, my name's Ellie Hudson, often known as Scuba Ellie, and I'm on the Big Scuba podcast with Gemma and Ian to talk about young people in diving and how they can actually get into it. So I'm really excited for this podcast, so let's get it going.
So here we are.
So, Ellie Hudson, thank you for joining us on the Big Scuba podcast. And we actually met you in person just a few weeks ago at the Go Diving Show on the Real Diving stand. Yeah, so it's great to actually see you in the flesh.
Yeah, in the flesh indeed. Yeah, it was really nice. I really enjoyed the show. I was there with Real Diving, Santi, Avatar, Halcyon and Suek. So it was a really good time. I think the show was amazing as well to see kind of the variety of people that came into the UK show. And I've only been once before, but definitely this year I felt like the crowd was really good and got to meet so many amazing people and interact with them. So I'm really glad, obviously you guys as well. So I'm really glad I actually went.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing show.
Was there's a real buzz about the show this year, I thought. And and every year it seems to get bigger and better, and they improve, and you know, they just build on it every year. So it was really good. In fact, we could have done another day, really, couldn't we?
Yeah, it needs to be three
saying
days.
That. Well, because that's a similarity, isn't it, between the different dive shows as well. I think I did DEMA as well for the first time last year, and it was crazy to me, like the 4 days or 5 days of it. And by the end, I was so tired. And obviously, a lot of people that have done Dusseldorf as well, that's a long show with a lot of days in there. So yeah, I reckon we could do another day of the UK dive show.
Yeah, I think so. I think the capacity is there. So, Ellie, what does diving mean to you?
Oh, what a question. To be quite honest, diving for me is something that's really brought my personality to light. I was never that confident kind of growing up, and I didn't really know who I was. And I always kind of had an interest in sports, but I never kind of felt like I belonged anywhere, you know. We talk a lot about kind of bullying in schools and everything that kind of comes with that. And I think diving was the placement in my life where I started to actually have confidence in myself, because I was able to be who I am in the community that I was surrounded in. And that was super special for me, because it meant that I could just be myself. I could grow in a community which felt safe to me, and also to really, you know, test myself and push myself and find the things that I'm good at. And so diving kind of started obviously about 10 years ago, but when I started diving like that, it really changed my perspective on who I am, who I want to be. And it's just my safe place. It's my home. I care a lot about ocean conservation. I care a lot about the people within the community. So diving really made that possible for me to become who I am today.
Yeah. So what actually got you into scuba diving? Did you find it, or did it find you?
So my dad actually introduced me to scuba diving. He was a diver. He did his open water course in Brighton Marina in winter in a wetsuit. And ooh, that did not appeal to me very much at all. So on one of our travel holidays, when I was old enough, I think I was 14 at the time, or 13. He was like, I think it's time for you to give it a go. And I just remember instantly, I did a DSD, and I remember instantly falling in love with it. It wasn't even like a question about it. I was like, nope, right, DSD now. I want to be certified. I want to start this journey.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So from there, did you do PADI, or was it another agency?
Yeah, so I started with PADI and did most of my certifications through PADI, still have to this day as well. And I just liked the ability to be able to kind of progress. At the time, I don't really think I was aware either of like any other agencies. It was just kind of where I was doing the courses. So that was who I did it with. Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of level have you reached at this point in time?
So currently I am, sorry, I've still got a mosquito around me. So currently I'm just swatting it away. Currently I'm a open water scuba instructor, with specialties as well as a technical diver, which I've just started my technical journey within the last year. Mm-hmm. I did that because I love teaching, I love guiding, I love being a professional diving instructor. I also needed a challenge for myself, and I think it's quite common as well, you'll speak to professionals where they'll end up kind of feeling a little bit burnt out if you've done, you know, a lot of work within the industry and you're working full-time within it. And for me, I was like, why? I don't understand sometimes, because we get to the level of like instructor and then we stop progressing, or we don't really have many more things that we do to gain experience under our diving belt. So for me, it was about the challenge, and that seemed appropriate to go technical, and to start challenging myself in that sector as well, which came with its own challenges too, because there's still, we talk about gender gap in diving and professional divers, but we also look at the gender gap in technical diving, and there's a few females that have incredibly inspired me to turn technical and to kind of push through the pushback that you get. And it's quite funny, because I mean, even recently I was on a boat, and I don't really tell my certifications to people at all. I just kind of dive and allow that to explain where I'm at in my life. And when I got out of the water, this gentleman came up to me and went, "Oh, so you're a technical diver?" I was like, "Yes," because you don't always expect it, I guess. From they look at me and they just think, "Well, 5'2", short female, maybe not like able to carry twin sets or anything like that." So yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good you prove them wrong, because yeah, there's a lot of people that, yeah, like we say, it's very judgmental sometimes, and yeah, we've experienced it, haven't we? Even standing on the quay in the Farne Islands,
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think the diving industry, sorry if I'm going off on tangent here, but I don't think the diving industry chooses to be judgmental. I think we've had, we've progressed over the years, and I think ultimately we started with, very old school divers, which also did incredible, a lot of stuff for the diving community. They were explorers, they were testing out things, they were seeing how it all works, and they've contributed massively to where we are today. So I'm not dissing them at all, but we also had that judgment factor come in, maybe from slightly older divers that kind of look at it, and whether it's to do with they don't think that you've earned your title, or you don't think you've earned enough dives. And I always say to people, I will never judge anybody that's in the diving community. Everyone starts somewhere. I was in a shoes of a DSD once, and I was in the shoes of a new diver once. You don't always know the correct terminology. You don't always know, and it also comes down to training as well. And I hate when I hear people bashing new divers, because I'm like, well, actually, it's on the instructor or the dive center who trained them to train them properly. And I think when you're blaming the diver for maybe mistakes or omissions in their training, then I think that's where we're going wrong, because you need to encourage that person to get better. You can give constructive advice to get better. We don't need to be too judgmental in the way that we do it.
Yeah, that's right. Push
Yeah.
up, not down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So career-wise, did you just jump straight into a diving career, or did you get into a normal career, like above
Normal.
water career?
So yeah, I started work. So I went to university, I did my law degree, I went to work in London, I did all of the kind of steps that I guess everyone wishes you do. So I did all of that. And then I was working within TV, which is a lot of where I've learned my kind of content creation skills and filming skills and production skills. And I worked through COVID actually at the TV center. And then, throughout COVID, I think everyone's lives changed during COVID. I mean, we think about it now and think back to what we all went through, and it's just like, wow. But I really, to be honest, I came out of that era, and I was positive that I wanted to do something for myself that made me happy. Life is definitely too short, and I think it's too short to not want to jump. When it feels scary, you have to jump. So I then was like, right, that's it, I'm going. And so I then worked for my professional qualifications in scuba, and then I also decided to go freelance content creation, which has only been in the last year, but I'm very thankful because it paid off. And I was so scared. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna not have a salary, I'm not gonna have a steady income, how am I gonna afford to do this? And yeah, it's been very special, and also needed, I think, to see that people and brands really want this within the industry. And it's nice to see the marketing side of the industry as well developing and coming up to the 21st century too. Big
Yeah,
step to
that's
make.
I know some people think crazy. Probably.
yeah, but like you say,
No.
sometimes you have to jump, and yeah, and
Yeah,
absolutely.
absolutely. Anything of from going from an in as an employee to then saying, hey, I don't want the security of a month's, pay coming in at the end of the month. I'm actually going to go alone and do, take some doing, and fair
You've
play
done
to
it,
you.
haven't you?
I did it, and it was about 10 years or so ago. And yeah, it was very scary because mortgage and all that to pay. And you don't know. But the way to look at it is the sky is the limit. Rather than
Absolutely.
think
I would
about,
never
well,
be where I
actually,
am now.
yeah, because it's down to you. You can now be the master of your own destiny. How good is that?
Yeah, for sure. Look at this motivational Monday
It
podcast.
is, but it's true, and it's I had a similar conversation with somebody in a similar line of business as me, or a few years ago, and they were asking me about it, and I said, well, you're looking at it the wrong way. Stop thinking about, well, you get this come in, think about how much more you can do,
Yeah,
because you
for
know your
sure.
own worth, you know your own skills. And the good thing about it is that you've got time in TV. And with the diving, why put, makes sense putting the two together.
Yeah, and I
And it's
think
obviously paying off.
I think the other thing was as well was I really was adamant that I wanted to put out a good message in the industry as well, and through what I did, I wanted that to be portrayed. And I think the only way I could really have done that is by doing what I'm doing, because otherwise it's not that I set out to be well known on the internet or anything like that, but I wanted it to be a safe space for divers to come where they didn't feel judgment. And that's something that will never get old to me, is I get messages quite often actually on Instagram from people that have maybe I had one not too long ago, which was this new DM had a bit of a situation, and she felt really nervous about how it all panned out, and she was questioning herself of, did she do everything right? Was there anything else they could have done? And I think to receive messages like that, or from new divers saying, I got really close to my NDL and that really scared me, and then to try and just speak to people and not necessarily give them, this is right or this is wrong, because I'm not the person to say that, but it's also just speaking to them and going, well, this is a learning experience. And I think through diving, every single dive, I learn something new, every single dive. And when I speak to really well-respected divers as well, which I, have done incredible dives, insane discovery, insane exploration, they all are very humble and they all turn around and go, I am still learning. And I think that is something that's really special in the industry, and to be able to help that message get out, which is keep going. As you said, the sky is the limit. If you're new to this and you're struggling with something, don't feel ashamed. That's totally normal. It's like driving. You get better the longer you've been driving.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And equally, there are some so very experienced divers in the industry, but when you talk to them, they do kind of get really back to the raw bones, and like, you need to practice a skill, or you should practice a skill when you get in the water on every dive. All this really good advice that, yeah, is just so good for new people coming in to feel comfortable with and accept, rather than you think you've just got to bash out all your certifications and get to where you think you should or people think you should get.
No, for sure. And I look at my sponsors and the people who I'm an ambassador for, and I am so thankful because every single one of them have always supported me in my journey as well, and to really push that message too, and that's really nice to be aligned with like brands like that, because then you're like, well, my vision is actually really aligned with them. And yeah, they're just amazing. I mean, Dan Europe, I love the fat safety part of them. They are amazing with kind of encouraging safety into the diving world, and doing that through content as well, which is super helpful, because there's a lot of things that people don't understand to do with safe dive safety as well, and that's normal because it's not always covered in depth. And Deeper Blue, they've done amazingly with trying to encourage younger people, pay them fairly, trying to kind of encourage them to get into the industry. Avatar and Real Diving, I mean, my equipment sponsors have been phenomenal. And one of my first times diving in a membrane dry suit was with them, and being so supportive and doing courses with them, and just even speaking to the gang, then you never feel judgment from them. They're like, don't worry, you got this. It's a progress. And you will get better, and they always are willing to give tips and everything like that. So I think things like that, they make me so happy, because it's just people supporting others in the industry.
Yeah, and that's what makes it grow as well. And having that enthusiasm becomes infectious to then make you want to, like, spur you on more.
Absolutely, for sure.
And I think even from my early, like 2020, but you talk to people and then they have an effect on you, and that just kind of makes you want to do a little bit more or learn a bit more.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that's nice to be able to open that up to the wider audience as well, and to say, you know, like, if you maybe don't have that inspirational person around you or those supportive people around you, they are out there. You've just got to find them. And that's the thing I love about the diving community, is we're all over the world. You know, I'm 1,000 miles away from you or whatever it is, but we're all still collaborating and talking and supporting each other from afar. So, you know, if you're feeling a bit discouraged right now with where you're at in your diving life, then don't worry. There are people out there that will support you, and that will be there for you to help you through your career.
Yeah. And it's just having that kind of confidence to reach out, I think, as well. There are so many channels, you know, on social media, manufacturers, yeah, dive centres. It's just that point of just kind of taking those first steps, isn't it?
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. No, well, that's really good. Nice. So in terms of people you're working with at the moment, we've seen a lot of content with real diving, avatar suits and Santi suits.
Yeah.
So what do you think would be the gear?
Yeah, well, actually, I love the avatar because for my job, I obviously travel a lot. So my primary, obviously, job that I built for myself is now gaining content for brands or businesses. So often I'm sent kind of all over the world to gather diving content, which I am not complaining. As I said, I'm very thankful. It's the best job ever. So I was approached by Avatar, and I already knew about them, and I was a big fan because I'd seen the Avatar suit on other people. And actually, it's perfect for someone like me that travels a lot, because it literally weighs less than 3 kilograms. And you hear people talk about dry suits, and you're like, okay, I can't take a dry suit to the Caribbean because it's going to weigh a ton, and I only have a certain luggage allowance. So what was really cool with me was when I found out about how light the Avatar suit was, I was like, absolutely, yes. And apart from that, it also just fits really well with different sizes. It's great quality, obviously, as well. And also the team are very passionate about how they're, you know, what they want to include, because, you know, it's being, I mean, Santi, obviously, built for divers by divers. And that's very true, because ultimately, you know, you need that perspective behind the kit that you're developing.
Yeah.
And as I said, real diving, they are amazing. They have grown as well, incredibly so. The team is phenomenal. And they've also helped me along the way massively with my equipment, both for rec and tech, and to really, you know, educate and help people understand about the differences between, you know, jacket style BCDs and then going for a wing. And if you're switching between the two, because that's the thing a lot of people have questions about, you know, I didn't know necessarily everything I should have when I looked at getting a wing, and, you know, the different back plates you can get. Do I get carbon fiber? Do I get the alloy? Do I get the steel? So we've really, I think, managed to kind of educate some more recreational divers as well about maybe you do want to go for a wing, and also just how we can incorporate that as well into content and really push it out into the market.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And it's,
yeah.
You know, as a new, even a new diver, when you look at all the options, you know, even if you're thinking BCD wing, it is really confusing, and you can just look online and just get like completely bamboozled. But
yeah,
if like content you're creating, it's a much more, it's kind of giving in a, it, there's options out there, isn't it? And
yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that is, I've always struggled with personally, is when I remember when I was looking at my first set of gear and I was like, okay, right, what's on the market? Let's have a look. And you go through kind of everything, and it's so overwhelming because there's so much, as you say, and then there's all the colours, and then there's all of this, and you're like, what do I go for?
Today's episode is sponsored by Narked at 90. So let's find out a bit more about them. Narked at 90, their tagline has been beyond technical, which describes them pretty well. John Routley and Brent Hudson launched the company over 20 years ago. They are both technical divers who have logged thousands of mixed gas dives between them over a 30-year period. Using their engineering know-how and diving expertise, have developed bespoke, personal, commercial and military diving equipment and products of a universally recognised, unparalleled calibre.
Their ability to be adaptive and versatile with their developments led them to support the NHS during COVID. Using their superior knowledge of breathing and oxygen monitoring systems to help develop emergency ventilators. They also design and supply the sneaky stuff used by defense-based development groups throughout the Western world, although they can't tell us much about that. If you're thinking of moving across to tech diving or completely new to diving, Narked at 90 can advise and guide on the best equipment and setup for your personal or commercial requirements. Narked at 90 have unparalleled experience of shearwater dive computers and are the longest serving and sole and UK European service centre for those. They are happy to offer technical support, servicing, repairs and upgrades to all shearwater computers, past and present. Narked at 90 stock shearwater computers, but are also stockers and technical support centre for many other manufacturers, including Divesoft, JJCCR, Hollis, Revo and Kiss Rebreathers.
Based centrally in the UK, Narked at 90 also offer full rebreather head servicing for selected manufacturers.
Bespoke cable assemblies.
Advice on specific fitting requirements.
Suggestions and guidance for home builds.
Computer laser cutting and engraving.
Pressure testing to simulate 400 metre dives.
So, Narked at 90, a reputation built on supporting both manufacturers and divers worldwide.
Go to narkedat90.com and make sure you are following their social media to keep up to date with their latest news and offers.
And to be honest, like the main thing I love about the wing as well, and because I dive with the Ally backplate, and the main thing I love about my wing and backplate is it's light and it's so foldable. Whereas when as I said, everything for me is based around travel. I have to be able to fit it into a tiny suitcase or a light suitcase. And when I was looking at BCs, like my old BC was, well, jacket style BCD was, I think, just over 2 or 3. Like it was heavy. It was heavy and chunky, and you couldn't fold it up neatly in the suitcase, and it kind of just had to sit on top like a mushroom. And so by the end, I was like, actually, the wing and the backplate really works for me. And I mean, my Ally backplate, I think, is 1.2 kilos. And then my wing obviously weighs hardly anything at all. So it's kind of all developed that I'm getting together this perfect travel package for myself. And I'm finally not having to pay too much over luggage fees, because I'm eventually going to get there below the limit. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all things to consider, aren't they?
And
yeah.
And your fins.
Yeah.
Yeah. My fins. Yeah. The only thing I would say is, because I'm diving dry a lot now, is my fins. I tend to have a little bit heavier fins. But yeah, as you say, it does add up. But then I substitute that with the lighter dry suit and the lighter back plate. So, it's a finesse, guys. It's a finesse.
So when you first started in your diving journey, were you predominantly in wetsuits rather than dry suit?
Yeah. So what was really interesting is when I first started diving, I spoke about this not too long ago, actually, which was when I first started diving, I dived in the Maldives. So I learned in the Maldives, very lucky. But in hindsight, it was like, here, learn to dive in the best place possible. And then here's like 2 meter bits anywhere else. So I started to dive there, did a lot of my qualifications in warmer climates. And then I've spent a lot of time in Europe, and actually Europe people, contrary to belief, can also be colder waters as well. You know, even you talk about Spain and people will think, well, the water's going to be 28 degrees, and it is in the summer. But when you look at the winter, it then goes down to kind of, you can get 10 degrees, 11 degrees in the wintertime, because obviously you've got the different seas that are meeting in the middle as well. So when we dive in Gibraltar, it's a lot colder than when we're diving mainland Spain off the coast there. So anyway, it was a very interesting point of my diving journey, because I then started to want to learn more about how I could make myself more comfortable. I don't particularly deal with the cold very well. And the thought of wearing a dry suit scared me so much. And it was one of the reasons that whilst I lived in the UK, I didn't actually do any UK diving, which is absurd to me now, because I'm like, I literally lived on the doorstep, originally from like Brighton area. I lived on the doorstep so close to so many amazing dive sites. And did I do it? No. Because I was too scared to get into a dry suit, because I thought, gosh, that's a lot of effort. When I was used to diving in a shorty. So it was then recently, which I kind of switched my mindset as well, which I really wanted to promote colder water diving to people, and to really show them that it's not as scary and difficult as you think. Yes, there are changes. Yes, there are, courses that you need to do to be comfortable and safe. But there is something that's so amazing. I mean, you guys can vouch for this, but sites in the UK. I don't know why we're not, promoting them as much as we could and how good we can promote them as well. Because they are phenomenal. And the thing for me was I did my first quarry dives last year as well, which was my first freshwater kind of diving. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I went down to Vobstar. I had the best day. I was like, I can get coffee on site. Like, I know that's not a main thing, but
Does
it was
help.
really cool. Bacon sandwich and it was really nice. So I ended up loving to go to Vobstar, and I also did Stony as well. I did a DPV course in Stony Cove. So these were actually really exciting trips for me. And people go, "Are you mad? Like, you say your favorite trip was this when you got to go to a really nice hot country." And I'm like, "But it's challenging. It's something different for me, and it's also something that I've never really contemplated doing before, and now I'm doing it. I'm like, why didn't I do it sooner?" So, big advocate for UK diving, obviously because I'm from the UK, but also because it is phenomenal. And I've got so many more places I want to dive in the UK. I definitely want to make it over to the Farne Islands. I really want to dive with seals. That's on my bucket list for sure because they are literally the sea puppies of the sea. And yeah, so I've got so much on my list I want to do there. But it's interesting because I was always like, I lived on the doorstep for so many years and I didn't do it.
See, I'm like you. I never quite understand why people don't dive in the UK. Because even in the summer, you can dive the UK in a wetsuit quite easily. And our Christmas party, Gemma and I sat on a table, big table, and we were the only people who dived in the UK and on the whole table.
On an
We're like,
English
why?
table.
You're missing so much. You love diving. So just dive in the summer if it's the cold, you'll still have a great time. We had a dive in the Farne Islands, and we were literally, what, 2 meters down?
Yeah, two
And
or
we
three
had
meters.
seals around us. We had all this color of kelp and you name it around
Beautiful.
us. And then coming in the water, what did we have? We had the puffins.
Yeah, the
Puffins were
birds
in the
dive
water with
bombing
us.
us. Yeah.
What more do you
Gosh,
want?
that sounds incredible. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, I really, kelp is such a beautiful thing, especially being a videographer or a photographer. The way kelp looks in some things, you're
Yeah.
just like, wow, it's stunning. I think there's a lot more to be done with promoting UK diving. I'm excited for, whether I can push that as well through my own channels and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely it's that's the biggest piece of advice I said to a lot of people as well at the UK Dive Show, because you had a lot of divers that came to the UK Dive Show, but they aren't necessarily diving in the UK. And I turned around to them and I was just like, just do it. Just get dry suit certified, or even, as you say, like, wear a wetsuit. I personally think dry suits are a great, not biased, but they are a great way to dive, safety perspective as well, if you know how to use them properly. And I also think I prefer diving dry now. I was just telling you guys before I came on this on the podcast, was I'm in the Caribbean right now. Sorry, Caribbean. I am sorry. I've been around Americans. And I'm in the Caribbean right
You're not going
now,
to start saying water, are you? Remember, it's water.
but water, water. But when I came over here, I actually brought my dry suit with me, and it was quite funny because everyone on the island's like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "It's a dry suit," and they're like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah."
What, even with deep stuff, they're not wearing a dry suit.
Not really, no. So it's quite amazing because a lot of them, like, because obviously they're a technical center as well, and a lot of them have gone, wow, like, we need to invest. This mosquito needs to go away. Can you just leave me alone for a minute? So yeah, so it's quite interesting actually to hear that they've not, and I think they know about the neoprene ones, but when I turned up with like a membrane, they were like, what is this? So it's, yeah,
Oh, well, that's
interesting.
good to spread the word, isn't
Yeah, I know. I was like, guys, Avatar is going global.
it? So, how long are you in Grenada for?
At the moment, for quite a while, because I'm working with the tourism board here. So I'm doing a lot of content for them because they've not really got any underwater footage and stuff like that. So it's actually quite a cool project that I'm working on at the moment. So that's good. So I think about 3 months, I think. I might be doing some trips in between that, but I can work from anywhere, which makes it kind of nice as well. But I've still been diving dry, and people ask me, well, why? And I'm like, well, I can change up what I'm wearing underneath it. So, for example, I'm not in my woolly bear underneath my dry suit. I'm in my membrane dry suit, my avatar, but I'm wearing like a bikini underneath. And people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, but it's the way I prefer to move in the water. I feel I have more control. I like having two buoyancy devices. All kinds of things like this really have changed my perspective on diving. And now I prefer to dive dry.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? And if we're talking like UK divers, then you predominantly do start out doing all your certifications in a dry suit.
Rising.
And if you're used to it, then that's stick with it because you can always sort out the underneath, your undergarments to
Yeah.
cope with the changes in
It's so
temperature.
flexible, and it's also a hell of a lot easier to put on than a 7 mil or a 5 mil. I'm not doing the jump and dance anymore. It's like a nice sliding in, and I'm not jumping all over the place.
Ian
I'm not
loves
worried.
semi-dry, don't you?
I do actually. Yeah, I do. I much
Just
prefer.
getting in it and out of
Yeah. I normally have to
I will
lose.
never enjoy putting on a wetsuit or a semi-dry or anything. I will never enjoy it. Even a 3 mil, I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh my God, this is awful. It's a lot of work. It is. And I think it makes me laugh when you see these movies where they put kind of scuba divers in them. And then you get the part where they're like putting on their wetsuit and they make it look so easy. And I'm like, how? This is not how it works. This is definitely not what happens. It's all lies. Don't believe it.
That is very true. I normally have to lubricate my arms, lubricate my legs just to get into a wetsuit.
And then yank it off
Yeah, because I never can
the
get off. Yeah. Fun and games.
it's all good fun. Yeah, always come out smiling. That's the main aim.
Yeah.
Oh well, that sounds really good. And it'd be great if you can get some more UK diving in because there's just we're an island, aren't we? So the UK
And
has so much to offer.
we should really give thanks to our inland dive sites as well, really, because they're often the unsung heroes. Because they don't go to dive shows. They often, don't have the money and can't do. People can't take that time off work because they're going all the year round. And really, you don't often see them at shows and things. So they're often the inland dive sites, and we couldn't dive without them because where do we do most of our trainings in the UK? Inland dive sites. And I think they're often the unsung heroes in the diving
Absolutely. And they're
world,
also doing
really.
so much work in being able to provide accessibility to diving for people that are living inland as well. So
Yeah.
yeah, definitely unsung heroes of the diving industry there.
Always friendly, and you can, as you said, get a crack cup of tea or coffee. Or some of the guys do great big baguettes lunchtime. I never know how they
Hey,
eat
colder
them.
water diving, you need to eat more for sure.
Fuel up.
Yeah.
And it's really good because you go to like Stony Cove, where that's our go-to site, isn't it? And you get to see all the variety of divers and always have a natter with them. And it's just great to sort of chat as well, not just get in the water and
Yeah.
Just dive, but you get to have that kind of sort of connection with people and find out where they're from and look at all their different
Absolutely.
gear as well.
Yeah, I mean that's always a dangerous part, isn't it? 'Cause you're like, "Oh, that's nice. Where'd you get that from?"
Well, it's looking. I'm just a single tank, but have done a tri dive just recently on a rebreather, and you think, wow, this is
Wow.
like a whole new thing. And then we did a side mount thing at the show and. Yeah, it just gives you kind of inspiration to try something. It doesn't mean you're going to go down that road, but at least you've got that understanding and a little bit of an insight into something.
Well, as you said, it's
Definitely.
good to push yourself a bit, isn't it? And try something new. I like learning. I do, and as you said, I think it's nice to learn a new skill and think, well, actually, I quite like that, And I've always dived in a BCD. And then I dived in a wing for the first time for a few years again. And I thought, you know what? Actually, I do enjoy being in a wing. It's nice, it is comfortable.
I find my back used to hurt wearing a jacket style BCD, especially if I was diving regularly. And since I've switched to wing, I just find it more comfortable diving position, and I just prefer the way I can move as well. And have more control, I guess, about where I'm placing my air in my wing. So I think there's debates as well when you talk about wing setup and whether new divers, because obviously some dive centers offer it for new divers to be able to dive with from the get-go, or some people say it's more dangerous for newer divers because that it pushes you forward on the surface. But my point of view is whatever you learn, whatever configuration you learn in, It matters what how you're learning from the beginning. So ultimately, if you're learning in a jacket style BCD, that's what you're going to know best. If you're learning in a wing, then that's also what you're going to know best. And I think it comes down to my point earlier, which is I don't think equipment, I mean, equipment definitely, sorry, reword that a little bit. Equipment matters. And of course, you know, certification matters, but it all comes down to your training and it all comes down to how you've been trained, where you've been trained and how they have trained you. And that doesn't necessarily mean to say that you're never going to be better than that, because you might have had a really bad experience on a course and felt like you missed a lot of training points and they didn't maybe satisfy everything that they should have. But you can still come back to that and build on that afterwards. But it is a massive thing, which is training. And whether you're learning in a jacket, a wing, a hybrid, then, you know, it's what you're going to know best and how you've been trained in it and how, if you've been trained to use it properly and to the best of, you know, the ability of that piece of equipment that you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. And with your relationship with the instructor, you know, that means so much to build that up. And I look back at my history and I had a really good relationship with my instructors and dive with them. You know, pleasure dive and you carry on learning, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is good. I think for new divers, especially to do that, I think it's a really good thing. And you're right. It doesn't really matter so much the equipment. It's the training, you know, and
for
the time that people put in, don't they? You know, there's instructors and who care and really want to know that their students are learning and get it. And then there's instructors, you know, We through this, we do hear both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the thing I say to anyone that asks me, you know, like, where's good to learn to dive or who's good to learn to dive with? And I think the main thing is, one, you actually feel comfortable with your instructor, because I think, you know, that's a very intimate relationship, especially from the beginning, because, you know, you're trusting this person with your very first breaths underwater. And sometimes, unfortunately, if that is not a great bond or a great relationship, it puts people off diving. And, you know, so that for me is whenever I'm, you know, teaching a DSD or whether I'm doing an open water course, I am so careful with how, you know, I'm treating the person. I want to understand why they want to be a diver as well, what's brought them here, you know, what they're doing, because you're forming this beautiful moment in their life where they're actually starting to become a diver, and your actions and your experience that you're going to provide them with is going to be memorable for them throughout the whole rest of their life. So, you know, and I think sometimes we can miss that when we're, you know, when as an instructor, and I get it as well, because especially if you're instructing in a place where it's very busy and you're doing a lot of courses and you are feeling burnt out, but that's as well your responsibility to ensure, and your dive centers, that you're not getting burnt out to a stage where you're now not caring about people's experience. You know, we are in an industry where, one, safety is primary, and two, it's a very love or hate relationship sometimes with scuba, because people can get terrified, or they can just hate it, or they can absolutely love it, and instructors are that bond between those things that happen.
And we should also give thanks and shout out to the lovely dive masters who often lead from the back.
but to be honest, you know, like, I at the moment I've been doing a lot of DM work. I'm like, I also think obviously there's differences between instructors and DMs, but they are both equally as important. You know, DMs also do look after people a lot when it comes to guiding too, but also within courses, you know, a lot of courses would not be possible without DMs. And equally, I have known some incredible DMs that just, I'm like, but why are you not an instructor? Because you'd be amazing. And they're like, we don't want to, you know, I'm happy to be a DM. And that's also something that opened my eyes, is not everyone wants to be an instructor. Not everyone wants to be a teacher, but they're happy to be part of that journey and to really be, you know, helping that journey come forward as well.
Yeah, it's getting the fulfillment out of whatever stage you're happy with, I guess. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, Ian, you're happy being a DM, aren't you?
I am, I made that decision a while back that people have asked me why I don't go on further, and it's because two things really is I can't really give that time and dedication to become an instructor. You know, I'm busy with family, I'm busy with my own business, and If I do that, I really want to make sure I give that quality time to do that. And on the minute, I just don't think I could. So I enjoy, as you said, being there as a helper, running around and making sure that the courses work well, and make sure everyone's in the right place, and assistant and an instructor, because it's all part of the team. So that's the bit I like, really. Whether that change in the future, I don't know. Just have to see.
It's never too late, though. It's never too late.
No,
No, never say
absolutely.
never.
No, absolutely. You
Yeah. So what would your advice be for people think, any new people thinking about they want to get and have a look underwater? How do you think we can inspire more people to try this scuba experience or even snorkeling?
Yeah, I think, it's I believe a lot of people fall in love with the ocean when they understand the danger that it's in. And I think that was a real turning point for me. And also a lot of people that I teach how to dive is when you understand how delicate our ecosystem really is, and when you can see it firsthand for yourself within, your dives or your snorkeling or whatever, it's very special, because you're one, you can actually help to test this and to try and actually create a better future for our next generations and for our planet. But two, you also understand more about why it's a necessity to help and to change our actions, and to, try and be more thoughtful about how much plastic we're using, and where we're dumping all of our rubbish and stuff like this. And I think my advice to anyone would be to really to understand why, you would like to kind of venture into the ocean, and also to respect it. It's one of the biggest lessons I've learned, is always to respect the body of water that I'm diving in, because it's a very special thing. I love interacting with marine life. I love, I feel so blessed sometimes to be able to witness some of the sights we're seeing underwater. Because it's just nature at its finest, and it's beautiful, and it's a very silent place. Diving's helped me massively when I need to switch off my brain in some context, to just kind of detach myself from, social media and work and a million messages a day. And it just puts you in this mindset where you can just really appreciate nature at its finest, without kind of cars honking or motorbikes going past or traffic lights. And
Mobile
And I think
phones and
I think we lack that. And some people say, well, I can get that if I go to a park. And it's like, well, you can, but you're still off. You've got your phone on you still. You've probably still hearing traffic or something like that. And I think that's why I find it so special. And I think people are individuals. They find the reason it's so special to them. So that's what my advice would be, is to find why it's so special to you.
Yeah, it is finding that why, which I think in any activity or any pursuit of something better, it is finding your why first, isn't it, to get to
Yeah,
that thing.
and if you can't think of a why, then just think, why not?
Yeah.
And it is getting easier, because you only got to look at or listen to some of these people who started diving, in the 60s and 70s, especially for women, who have told us, they had to, the only option was getting in a man's wetsuit, because there wasn't women's wetsuits. So things are definitely getting easier.
Yeah,
This is more
if you,
choice.
and this is the thing as well, is we are doing incredible work, each and every one of us in the industry, to really promote, it to be. I say this as well, because obviously we celebrate Women's Dive Day every year and everything like that. But for me, I also like to use that time to celebrate inclusivity in the diving industry. Not just pure for females. I mean, obviously the gender gap in diving as well, especially when we're looking at instructors, is different. But I also think just celebrating the fact that, it's amazing that it can be such an inclusive place. People are doing amazing work. The dive center that I'm at the moment, Aquanauts Grenada, they've actually worked with their local some of the local people here as well, to be able to help them become divers, because also not everyone can financially become a diver. And the initiatives like that are phenomenal and are making huge amounts of waves in the industry to bring people in. Why should we say no to people if they can't afford to be a diver? We will find alternatives to help them, initiatives that can help them get into it. And I think that's same way as I felt in diving, that I've never been judged, or okay, not never, never, but like in it, I feel included and in a space where I feel safe. You know, it's the same for everyone, and everyone should be given that opportunity, no matter their race, gender, their religion, you know, whether they're financially well off or not. It's an open, safe space for everybody to be into. And, you know, there is amazing work that's being done. It's just being able to shout about it from the rooftops and really encourage people to do the same and get involved.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And just getting people involved in, you know, any initiatives like beach cleans, and you've been involved with ghost nets as well, I think, haven't you, as well? Yeah. So all these different things about bringing that subject alive, you know, if it, you know, over social media, it just makes, it gives people another insight into this other world.
There was one video I did actually, which was for Zibel in Spain, not in Spain, sorry, in Malta. And we did a cleanup in one of the bays in Malta, and we found so many dead stingrays. And it was I cried underwater. And I think that's one of the only times I've actually done that, is it's all bycatch. And it was to see it firsthand, that close up, and that many of them, like there were so many. And I documented it, obviously, and I was debating whether or not I should actually post the video, because one, very aware that sensitive, you know, images like that can be distraught and upsetting to people. But equally, I also wanted to showcase that this is happening. And I'm actually very thankful, because the video, I think, reached about 500,000 people, and it did get a very good reaction. I would say good in a weird way, because people actually who are not divers were commenting and going, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. And these are the realities. And so often I think sometimes we, you know, we want to get people into diving. Okay. So of course we're going to show you the beautiful sights that we see, the kelp forests. We're going to show you the manta rays that we see, the sharks, the cool stuff. But I also think the way the new generations are growing up, and how younger people are thinking and feeling, is they understand our planet is in, you know, a lot of trouble when it comes to our ecosystems and everything like that. And that's why we're seeing a lot of the new generations also paying more, but for more sustainable products. So the way I see marketing kind of changing in the industry as well, and how we get more people into diving, is actually by looking at the problems that are in diving, and how, if you become a diver or become involved, you can actually change that, and you can help change that, and you can help make a difference. And, you know, that's something I feel passionately about. And that's why I did post it in the end, because I was like, ultimately, we don't see sunshines and rainbows every day, and it's important to shed lights on the issue. And that is, I'm hoping someone out of, you know, those 500,000 people turned around and went, right, today's the day I'm going to sign up for my course, and because I want to help and do stuff like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
and
exactly.
Becky Kagan Scott, she shared on Friday, I don't know if you saw it, and she, I've been following her for a while, and we spoke to her on the podcast, but she shared on Friday these pictures that she took of the polar bear chewing on rope. And she put in the post that she wasn't sure whether to share it or not. And me and a lot of other people all said, you know, absolutely, you can't sanitize for the sake of social media. You can't sanitize life like that, you know. And the more people take pictures of, and say to all the non-divers and divers and people who unfortunately don't get to see the sea, and, you know, and take the easy option, and not think about what happens to waste and stuff that they use, how will they ever know, you know? And she was right to share it, and you were right to share it.
And I think there's a lot to be said as well for actions. Like, I did a post, not, gosh, I can't remember what it was, but I did a post on the fact that I am actually ashamed sometimes, because I think back to how I discarded of my rubbish. And being a teenager, I remember not caring. I used to be like, well, I can go anywhere, it doesn't matter if I drop it on the field, cool, whatever. And also, you know, the amount of plastic and single plastic I was using, and again, wouldn't really care where it's discarded. And I think I spent a long time actually being ashamed of myself for that past I had. And I was like, I can't really post about conservation because I've got this past where I didn't really care. But it's not true. You know, the changing point is education. Without education, why should you care? And this is incredible things that, you know, Becky's doing, which are a lot of ocean videographers are doing and photographers are doing, is there, you know, it was like that very famous picture of the seahorse and the COVID mask. And I think you have to showcase these things. You have to be brutally honest and put them out there. And I think even like ghost diving with you know, Pascal, he's doing amazing work as well by being able to showcase the work that how much nets they're finding in the sea and actually the incredible dangerous work that they're doing as well to pull them out of there. And it's these people that are leaders in our industry, and they might not have a million followers, but they are making so many waves in the industry, pardon the pun, to be able to bring education to this matter, bring people to awareness of this matter. And I don't blame anyone that, you know, has maybe thrown something in the ocean before because they weren't aware of why it's bad, you know. And I think if we want to change it, we have to educate, and we can't, you know, we can't scold. We have to educate people first, and then we're inviting them in the industry as well, instead of just like, you're bad, go away.
Well, things are changing. I can't name names, but I work with some very big firms and work with their newly appointed sustainability managers. And I was talking to one on Friday about some of the plastic waste that I see through my other job and pick up. And that they are looking at, you know, and the fact that people like Ford have got people like sustainability managers who have been on our podcast to talk about some of the things that they're doing about making changes. And, you know, it is, and they followed people like yourself, you know, they are seeing all this stuff. They're seeing the full circle of like, how come, you know, bits of materials were in, or like we've often talked about the wall tile spaces and things like that. How come something like that, which is sold at, you know, a home store, a B&Q store, Screwfix, and they're now on a beach somewhere along the line, that's done a full circle. And, you know, someone will pick it up, put that in the bin, and then that'll go to landfill. You know, and now they're thinking about how do we make them out of stuff that biodegrades, so it's no longer plastic and things like that. And one of the, you know, and so big companies are suddenly now thinking, hold on, our customers are actually going to hold us accountable because this stuff that we're selling is now appearing up on beaches and things through you know, so through the waste system.
It's about education, but it's being brutally honest in all the platforms that we have for this education to happen, isn't it? People can't have blinkers on their eyes and think, no, it's not happening. It is happening, but with that visual is always better than, you know, a spoken word, isn't it? Or reading something, if you can see what is happening and relate it to planet.
Which is really cool for new divers to get involved in.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's another initiative that, you know, I would love for people to, you know, want to be involved in, you know, weekly or monthly cleanups and stuff like that. And you do see it is happening. And I think, as I said, especially the younger generation, they are definitely paying more attention to it because they know it's their future that this impacts. And I think that's also what firms and businesses, like you're saying, are paying attention to, because they know that these people are also their future customers and their customer base. So it's incredibly important for any business or brand or, you know, manufacturer to be aware of this at the moment. And I think there's been so many, you know, surveys done now where people have actually taken notice of this, and it's we'd rather pay more, but for more sustainable products than pay a cheaper price for something that's mass developed and ultimately not disposed of properly or using incredibly damaging materials for the environment.
Yeah, and it's great to see, you know, particularly manufacturers in the diving industry taking that on board and communicating that as well.
100%. Yeah, and that's, again, one of the things I love about my dry suit is it's recycled material. Like, yes, thank you, I will happily wear that.
yeah, and it's so important for people, you know, the younger generation having that perception of the planet is in a bad state, but they can do something now to pursue hobbies and enjoyment and, you know, seeing this underwater world as well.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's
Good.
all going in the right direction. It's just about this education, isn't it? And yeah, and people, like yourself with all the social media content, it is that platform that is the way to get stuff done these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's interesting because social media was, I think, first thought of like a social media site. So it's where you just interact with people, and that is what it is. But it's also, I say this to dive centers and to other people all the time, it's such a business-fied platform as well. And I've done a lot of purchases through Instagram. I found a lot of businesses I like through Instagram. And I think that's an interesting switch that we're starting to see in the diving industry too, where they're starting to actually pay attention that this is the way you go. This is actually a great tool. It might not be immediate, but it's definitely in the long term, an excellent tool to be able to use to build your brand, to gain customers' trust, and everything like that. I mean, the first thing I do when I want to dive with a dive center is I Instagram it. I look to see whether they have an Instagram account, and if they do, great. And then what's on there? Are they interacting with wildlife, properly, or are they, do they have a lot of divers that are just dragging along the floor and they're picking up shells and this and that and this? Then, it says a lot about a dive center and your brand and your image. And I think that's where the younger generation actually have this more of a, you're gonna research who whether you're going to a hotel or dive center or whatever, you're researching it first to see whether it aligns with what you believe in, and then they'll book afterwards. So it's a great tool to be able to push that sales platform through.
And equally, it's kind of a platform where you can't really hide, people and opinions speak. And
Yeah.
yeah, I know.
Like wildfire.
Yeah, sometimes it's not always positive, but we it is, we've got to use it in a productive and sustainable way, I guess.
Yes,
It's the
for sure.
future, and it's for brands and manufacturers to realize the potential of social media. And I think there will be ones that embrace it, and then there'll be others that
We're
don't, and
seeing this, aren't we?
they're going to be the ones that, yeah, don't, they're going to fall by the wayside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a changing times. Yeah.
Hopefully for the better, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
So have you got much planned for the next 12 months that you can talk about?
I've got a lot. So as I said earlier, it's been a bit of a whirlwind because I, as I said, only went self-employed about a year ago. And I kind of just went out on a whim and was like, this is what I'm good at. I'm gonna stick with this. So I'm one of the content creators for Paddy and do video editing for them, which is, a dream as well because I'm helping again get new people into diving. I obviously have my equipment sponsors that I work with and I do trips. I'm looking at going to Sweden with Real Diving, hopefully within the next couple of months, and getting some mine diving in there. And this is hilarious because I learned in a warm country and now I'm like, cold waters, yay. And I also love that from a videography perspective because the mine's looking absolutely incredible and just, a dream come true, basically. So that's definitely on the list there. I've got some, definitely will probably be at DEMA in Las Vegas this year as well. And I am a big fan of the F1. I know a lot of us are not a big fan of the F1 this year because it coincides with DEMA and it's so expensive. But that'll be nice to actually kind of see the final race. And yes, so I've got some potential clients as well that I'm working with this year. Can't really name the names, but definitely to help them kind of promote their resort or a diving activity or business. And also I've launched or I'm launching my own business this year as well, which, well, I know I'm kind of got my own business already, but my own proper business this year, which I'm super excited about. And it's very, very, very nearly ready to go. And the main focus of it is to help dive centers that, can't afford to have a social media manager and don't understand where to start with social media and basically need a lot of help with it. It's basically an affordable way for them to do that and to build an online community as well of dive centers where they can, tap into it and to really understand what they need to do to, move with the times as well. And I've got amazing feedback from it, so I'm super excited, but also kind of a perfectionist. So when it comes to launching, I'm like, no, everything has to be great. But yeah, it's something I'm trying to get better at. But I'm also like, there will be things that go wrong, but we just roll with it, and I'm gonna fix it, and it's gonna be fine. But a dream come true because I've kind of found my niche in the industry, and very happy with where I'm at, very happy with the people I know, and incredibly thankful to absolutely everyone that's helped me get here. Forever, forever thankful to them. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it just shows you where you can start and where you can be and what the future holds as well. And yeah, and it's great to see your progress. So, yeah, the good you're doing. So
thank you.
Yeah. So when we have our guests on, we always ask three questions.
Ooh.
So
trivia time.
So it's not general knowledge or anything.
Okay, good. So because it's not geography, I'm awful at that.
If you could take three people underwater for a dive, just to experience, they don't have to be divers, but it's just the principle of taking three people, past, present, fictional even, who would you take?
You didn't give me a heads up about these. Okay, right. I would probably, David Attenborough, because what I would want to do with him, I haven't actually thought about this, but anyway, I'd want us to have full face masks on, and then I would want like a live rendition. David Attenborough, if you ever watch this, please can we do this? A live rendition of like Ocean Planet in a full face mask where I can hear David Attenborough like talking me through everything would be wonderful. Who else? Three people, my goodness. Two would probably be, my gosh, guys. Maybe Elton John, because I'm just a big fan of his music, and also I just feel like he would appreciate it. I don't know, that's quite a random one.
He might write
and
a
then
song.
I think,
could you imagine
yeah,
his
he
wet
might write
suit?
A song about it.
Could you imagine his wetsuit and his mask?
And he's got it in his mask.
Yeah.
It'd be gold rimmed, wouldn't it? With great big wings or something, wouldn't it?
I do have quite a funny story. So I got the Dive Vault housing, which are you familiar with it? The touchscreen. It's a underwater housing for your iPhone. It's called Dive Vault. But it's actually one of the only ones which is touchscreen. So you can actually download playlists on Spotify and then listen to it underwater. It's not super loud, but you can hear it if it's like near to you or whatever. And then anyway, I was doing a dive, and I actually filmed on my GoPro, but me listening to music on my iPhone. And I sent it to my brother, and he's military or ex-military. So I was playing Elton John Rocket Man, and his reply to me was, Ellie, he was like, those poor submarines that are trying to listen for like actual threats, and all they can hear is like Rocket Man coming from the distance. And I just
What's
thought it was
going
hilarious.
On?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah, so I probably Elton John, David Attenborough for sure. And then probably I would say, I don't know. Gosh, three. I'm trying to think of people. I would probably actually say, I don't know if this counts, but my dad, because he suffered a stroke last year, and he's now basically fully disabled and paralyzed. And I don't think, you know, I'm not sure. He had a craniotomy as well, so there's a lot of different implications. And I don't think it will ever be possible again, but definitely if it was revolutionary medicine or, you know, whatever came through, I'd love to share one last dive with him, because again, someone that's helped me get to this point in my career as well, so forever thankful. And I'd probably do that as well.
Yeah,
for the
awesome.
for the more heartfelt side.
well if your dad got you started into diving, that's a good way to include him as your number three. Jolly good.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And what would push you, or what takes you out of your comfort zone, would you say?
I'm guessing within diving, right?
It doesn't have to be, but yeah.
Comfort zone. I would say low visibility, as in when I'm looking at really, you know, no vis kind of thing. That is something that I am comfortable with, but it definitely pushes me outside my comfort zone. Because you are solely relying upon your navigational skills. And you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I try, you know, it's like what you learn, you trust your compass. But there's always that voice in your head going, is this right? Are you sure? Is this the right way? And I think that's something I'm really having to get better at, is to separate kind of what you know. And it's a very mental part of diving, which is teaching your brain, especially when you get to the more challenging stuff, that ultimately you have to filter out those voices or that fear or anything like that, and you have to solely focus on your knowledge and your skills. And it's something I love to do, but also something that can really be, you know, challenging to try and get that balance between your your mind and your skill set is to really just trust that you know what you're doing. And I'm getting that with it, you know, a lot of things. But I think that would probably be the main thing I would say is it's something I actually really enjoy because it, again, challenges me and pushes me to get better. But yeah, something that maybe makes me feel a little bit outside my comfort zone sometimes is, you know, when you're definitely dealing with a few different things all at once, like low vis and then a current and then, you know, something else going wrong perhaps. So it's all about the challenge and just trying to overcome that mental aspect of it as well.
Yeah, no, that's
fair comment.
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good.
Quite natural.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then our final.
It is, isn't it? You know,
but they're all things that we don't really like.
No one likes
yeah,
it. You
yeah.
Know.
It's abnormal to us, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got zero patience and I just think, oh, why am I here? I would might as well go up there if I can't see. But now I
yeah.
have to know, you know, that'll clear again and that'll be fine. So,
yeah. It's something actually I learned a lot about when we were doing kind of tire retrievals and cleanups and even with, you know, the ghost nets, what they do. Is, you know, visibility can be crystal clear and it goes to nothing within seconds. And it's about, you know, backing out of that area or to figure out where you're at and just to also stop, think and act. You know, it's something we talk about a lot with diving, but definitely to control that mental aspect where your first thought is, oh my goodness, what is happening? Or where am I? Or what's happening here? How do I get out of this situation? Is to stop, think and act after that. And it's definitely something that's taken me a while to try and practice, and you only can practice it by being in those situations as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then our final question is another biggie. If you had a billboard, so the whole world could see this billboard, and you could put on a statement, a picture, an image, a video, what would you put on your billboard and why?
It's a message that goes out to the world.
Where did you come up with these questions, guys? Okay, I don't know how this would work. It's quite a creative one. I'd probably try and portray the person I was previous to diving and being involved in it, and the person I've become because of diving, and try and portray the transition and the good things that have come out of my life because I've become a diver, and you know, try and encourage others to do that or to you know, feel like they can be involved in that, because I mean I look at myself when I was previous to when I was, you know, really involved heavily in diving, and gosh, I was so unconfident in myself and I was so unhappy, and I look at myself now and the initiatives that I'm involved in and the friends I've made and the even through some really challenging parts of my life, and I've still come out the other end feeling, you know, okay. And I can only give that to diving that's helped me get through that.
It's very powerful.
Yeah. So I'd probably share that with others that, you know, I spoke on my Instagram just after Dima this year, actually, about my previous suicide attempts. And, you know, this was kind of before I was involved in diving so much. And it's something that's helped my depression massively, and to really be part of something. And I have friends that, you know, I've made in the diving industry that even, you know, daily check in on me and they're like, how are you doing? You good? Yeah, like, what's up today? And blah, blah, blah. And these are the type of friends that you really can, are hard to find otherwise. And that's something that's really special about diving is the support, the network, the peace it gives you as well. And I think mentally as well, it just really helps you kind of progress mentally and to heal yourself and to give yourself time and to understand that take away all of the crazy stuff in the world and bring yourself back to kind of nature. And it really does help, I think, mind and matter and body.
Yeah. Well, being underwater is really back to roots, isn't it? And
yeah,
being
yeah.
in an environment you basically started in. But yeah, it's really, really powerful. Yeah. So very good answers. Yes.
Yeah.
So if people want to follow you, find you, where are they best to go?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, scubaellie.com. If you would like to find me in person, I am currently at Aquanauts Grenada in the Caribbean. And yeah, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram. I'm always happy to chat with people, whether you have questions or whether you want to collaborate or, whatever it is, I'm always open to a chat. And also, you can follow my content on there and follow my journeys and see what I'm up to, basically. And obviously, as I said, hopefully later this year as well, my business will be up officially and public, so I can share with that as well.
Yeah, that's
Right.
great. Yeah, and it's
Yeah.
great for people to know that there is that two-way communication as well. It's that I mean that's really important, and they know.
Absolutely. I'm not just there to, post and shove content at you. I'm there to also support and to be a friend and to be a friend that's a million miles away. So definitely, it's my inbox is always open.
Excellent. Yeah. No, that's
Yeah,
really good. And
that's
yeah,
great.
communication is everything, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you, Ellie. That's been really good having a chat with you and
Yeah,
catching
thanks
up
for
with
coming
you
on.
guys. Yeah,
I
see.
really enjoyed it. It was lovely to finally get to speak to you properly.
Yeah, no, it's
No,
been
thank
fun
you.
conversation and hopefully inspiring for all our listeners around the world as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
No,
Yeah.
thank you. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, Ellie, and enjoy the rest of your day in the 30 degrees.
Yeah, not jealous at all. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right, we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. So we want to say thank you to Scuba Ellie coming on
Yeah.
and giving us that really enlightening and positive conversation, really.
Yeah, it was really positive, and it's quite unusual for us to meet someone and then have them on the podcast, isn't it? Actually, in
It is,
person.
yeah,
It's
quite
usually
quick.
the other way around.
Yeah,
So.
I liked, what she said, and I thought, she's obviously, putting a lot of energy into the diving and what she's doing.
And come a long way from where she was to where she is now, and absolutely, yeah, thrown her all into it and
Respect
get.
to anyone that goes self-employed, and leave a job where you're getting money and getting paid to go self-employed, especially in this world, diving world, because that's difficult.
Yeah, very
There
brave
isn't,
and gutsy, definitely. Yeah.
companies out that we do have in the diving world are often, quite traditional in their operation and don't really understand social media
Yeah.
and are but now getting to grips with it. And to yes, it's a tough one. So well done to her.
Yeah, and what she said about conservation and getting young people exposing, the not so nice stuff about the oceans
Goes
is
hand in
it,
hand.
yeah, it is ultimately education, and then we can make the changes. And
Yeah.
yeah, we
Yeah.
can't all be like, it's all nice and pink and blue and green, and there is.
You can't blame somebody for throwing something out the car window if they've never been told that's
Educated.
wrong.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
when you tell them, and hopefully they then go, hold on a minute, I shouldn't do that. That's not good. Then hopefully you've made a change.
Yeah.
If they carry on doing that, then fine, that's wrong. But you've got to give people the chance to be educated and
Yes,
learn
yeah.
from the past.
It's like anything, isn't it? It's about eating healthy, stopping smoking,
Yeah.
and yeah, exercising. They're all things. It is until you have that education about it, or somebody exposes something that is positive about it, you're never going to know any different.
No, exactly that. And no, fair play. And lovely that, her dad got her into diving.
Yeah.
I didn't catch if her brother dives. I'm not sure if I missed that, but and it's tough, isn't it? Things like that. So
Yeah, but also showing that being involved in the underwater world has helped, Ellie through some tough times as well, and
Yeah.
that's good, and we've seen it ourselves, haven't we? All the different.
That's the thing. That's the scary thing about mobile phones in a lot of ways. Because, I use a mobile phone underwater in the sea life
Pacing, yeah.
casing. Ellie uses hers. And I saw something a while back of like they were experimenting being able to actually text and things like that. no.
No.
Ooh, we don't want that. You know, all right, maybe for scientists and think that's good for them. But the last thing you want,
You don't
really,
want to be
on a
knowing what's
pleasure dive, do we really need Texan and things like that underwater?
No.
We just want to get away from it. It's good. You've got to have time away from this stuff.
Yeah, and I think Ellie summed that up really well. It is a place that is precious to all of us for our future, but it's a precious place to kind of get to remove yourself from
Yeah,
cars and traffic and
but companies and brands are definitely changing. Definitely, you know,
most of
and
them, yeah.
you know, out of the diving world and in the diving world, and you know, I'm seeing it through work. Companies changing, and that you know have got sustainability managers in
Yeah.
place.
When
Looking
was that a thing? In when we were like at high school.
hope Ford didn't mind me out in them, you know. But they are a prime example of a massive, you know, it doesn't come much bigger than Ford. And you look at Ford's social media now, it so much now is all about EVs, about being sustainable. You know, they're, you know, what happens to cars at the end of the life, and you know, what happens to their waste. You know, and they're suddenly going, hold on, we do have a responsibility. So yeah, you know, it's good. And she said some good stuff. So really pleased she come on.
Yeah, no, really, really good. And equally, yeah, listeners, if you want to give her a follow, head over to her Instagram or TikTok account and watch her journey, because yeah, she posts, it's a variety of all different things. So there's
Yeah, and I think for young girls, you know, my daughter included, you know, who new to the diving world, and it can be, you know, it can be a scary thing. You know, you kind of think, oh, where do you go, and you know,
Yeah.
where does that journey take? Well, you know, she's a good example, so.
Yes, and great, such an advocate of dry suits, because a lot of people can think, have this fear of getting in a dry suit and getting zipped up and getting it over your head. And that's
Well, I think especially in the UK, because you've got that weight element, haven't you? You know, there's a often you there's quite, you know, I'm thinking about Honey. She was fine in the wetsuit, but in the dry suit walking down, you know, she's like,
You
oh,
need
there's so
more
much
weight.
weight, you know, and so there, but there's ways around it. You know, I take the weight for her and then put her on when she's about to jump in, you know. So there's things you can do to help.
I know we can always adjust what we're wearing under a dry suit to, reflect the temperature of the water, because it's not always fun being in a dry suit when it's 20 degrees outside. But, Elliot is a prime example. She's in a dry suit in the Caribbean. So, So just good to hear different points of view and perspective and, perceptions for the future as well.
Brilliant. Okay, well, the only other thing I think we need to say is thanks to Knocked at 90 for sponsoring this episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got any feedback, that'd be really cool. If you need to know who Knocked at 90 are as well, go to knockedat90.com. They are beyond technical. And we say we hope you've enjoyed it.
Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, Big Scuba, and you can follow our adventures visually on there and check out our social media. And if there's anything that you want to comment on, ask us questions, then drop us a DM and we'll be happy to answer promptly.
Yay, absolutely. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review, and do you know, leave a review, because that do help our, you know,
It do
spending
help
this one.
us. It does help.
It does help, yes.
Any reviews are helpful.
They are brilliant. So that was the Big Scuba Podcast.
Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Now that does wrap up today's episode of the Big Scuba Podcast. But if you want to hear more from the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on what platform you are listening on. That way, you will never miss an episode from us. But If you are listening on Apple Podcasts and did enjoy what you heard today, we would really appreciate it if you head to the show page to leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help us. If you do, please take a screenshot of that review and send it to us on Instagram, and we'll give you a shout out to say a big thank you. If you have any questions for us or anything that has been mentioned in today's episode, be sure to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms or send us an email. The links are in the show notes. We will get back to you no matter what. If you have made it to this point in the episode, we both want to say a big, big thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.